Well, and this topic should really matter to you. About a week and a half ago or so, in our weekly show with Rafael Goyeneche, we talked about preliminarily about some cases that were before the criminal district court that just did not smell right. And it was the state of Louisiana versus Tamika Dozart, the state of Louisiana versus Darnell Wallace and Allison Conrad, the state of Louisiana versus Kendrick Martin, and the state of Louisiana versus Chantel Thomas. The judge in this case was Judge Roche. And it didn't smell right, didn't look right, the outcome didn't look right. It looked like there could have been the fixes in. And here to talk to us about that is Laura Cannizzaro-Rodri, co-founder of Bayou Mama Bears, former Orleans prosecutor. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Laura, I've been in the business a long time, but not as a prosecutor. Probably wouldn't have seen this as quickly as you or others working in a prosecution office. But do you ever recall seeing a scenario like this in the years of you serving as a prosecutor?
No, I have never seen anything like this. And I think that the way you introduced this is sort of the timeline of how this plays out. And it was really shock from the Metropolitan Crime Commission and myself when we saw what was going on. But essentially what happens is there seems to be a high number of not guilty verdicts coming out of certain particular sections of court. When that happened, there was immediately the speculation as to what was going on. Why was one or two or certain particular judges having such high number of not guilty verdicts? Well, what we found was the response to that was that a staff member from the court said, before you blame the judge for automatic or for the number of not guilty verdicts, maybe you ought to see what's happening in some of these cases, and provided transcripts for 16 cases. That's just out of one section of court in over a nine-month period. So this is all we have so far that we know of. But when the transcripts became available and when Mr. Goyeneche from the Metropolitan Crime Commission got them, what he saw was shocking. The state was saying that they were ready to proceed to trial. They then waived their opening statements. They say, no, I'm not going to do an opening. Then in most of the cases, they say, all right, I'm going to call Officer Smith to the stand. Say his name in the hallway three times. No response for Officer Smith. Okay, the state rests their case. Defense, no witnesses, not guilty verdict. And it was something none of us had ever seen before. It was announcing ready for trial, presenting no evidence, no testimony, resting the case, and then having a judge render a verdict of not guilty, and what Rafael Goyeneche described as the illusion of a trial, what has been termed as fake trials going on in criminal district court. And the fact that the MCC found 16 of these in just one section of court over a nine-month period is what has everybody extremely shocked about this.
Yeah, because that's an inordinate amount of cases. I mean,
well, that's
crazy.
A lot. Yeah, and so, yeah, you know, the question is, and some people say, well, did the officer know he was supposed to be there? And for people who don't understand or haven't had any experience in criminal court, in Orleans Parish, remember, criminal court, those judges are just assigned to criminal court. So all they do is criminal dockets all day. Typically, when a case is accepted, there will be notifications given to all the officers on the case, or they should be. It should be set up that way. So an officer may typically get notified that any of their cases are appearing in court, whether it be for motions or for trial. They'll get multiple notifications a week of various cases. The way it has always worked, and over the decade that I was there, and anybody who has worked in that building, you would call an officer beforehand for many reasons. First of all, you want to prepare them. You want to give them a copy of their report, review the case. You should be doing this before anything, before a trial or a motion. And so you call him and you say, hey, look, this is going to trial tomorrow. Can you be there at this time? Look, he typically starts at this time or whatever. it appears that even if the officers may get their notification that the case is set, there's no communication going on telling the officer you should be there or you need to be in court or anything like that. They simply have the guy or girl's name called in the hallway and then say the officer didn't show up, and then I rest my case. You know, it's extremely disturbing. There's a lot of things. And certainly in some of the cases, they're calling the victim's name and the victim's not answering, so they rest their case. It's very, very strange behavior of really what we're seeing are fake trials. I mean, I have no idea. The only thinking or the only rationale behind this is the state should be dismissing a case. First of all, if you don't have any evidence, or if you know your witnesses are not there, which you clearly know that, then why would you say ready for trial and proceed along in a trial? The only reason you would do that is because you don't want to actually be the one who dismisses the case. You want the judge to render a not guilty verdict. Then it's much easier to say, look, the judge did that. I went to trial. The judge gave a not guilty verdict. But the reality when you get the transcript is, no, you didn't go to trial. That's not a trial. And in fact, as Raphael Goyeneche pointed out, in some of these cases, no witness was ever sworn in. And so jeopardy hasn't even attached in these cases. That trial didn't even happen. It's not a real trial. You could actually bring those cases back, but there's no intent to. Nobody wants to. So it's really one of the most bizarre things that I think most of us have ever seen happening in Orleans Parish Criminal Court. And you know, that's a high bar to say that coming out of Orleans Parish, because I feel like we always say this is shocking, but this one is really... I don't think anybody has seen anything like this.
So I'm going to ask the question. You don't have to answer, but where's the Supreme Court on all of this? I mean, I don't know if this is a scheme or not, but this is what I know. What I know is that they are impugning the reputation of the arresting officer. This is a sham. It's not really a get up and go to trial situation. Right. They are impugning the reputation of all the witnesses. They're actually impugning the reputation of the players to this conspiracy. You know, that they're not ready. People are not there. And therefore, we're going to let this whole thing go. And it seems to me that it's really sending the message to the public is we're going to waste your time, we're going to waste your money for a prescribed outcome that on a stat sheet will look better for me as a prosecutor with a finding of a not guilty as opposed to a dismissal for not being prepared or whatever that may be. That we really just pulled the wool over the eyes of the entire community.
Right.
Now,
I agree.
If our Louisiana Supreme Court is not interested in taking on a case like this and doling out some disciplinary action, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, the only component here is somebody didn't take money from somebody. I mean,
right. And I think that I think the Supreme Court will have to take a look at this. I mean, you have the transcripts also show things where one of the trials was on Halloween Day. And it certainly appears that everybody in there knows what's about to happen. The judge even makes some comment. One of the lawyers says, maybe I should have worn a costume today. And the judge says, we're about to see if this one's a trick or a treat. You know, very strange language. In another one, the defense attorney does an opening statement, and most of them, you don't see opening statements by either side. And this one, the defense attorney does an open statement, and he knows before anything happens that the state is calling no witnesses. I mean, how would he have known that? He says in his opening, the state's going to present no witnesses and no evidence at all, and you will have no choice but to find my client not guilty. And that's exactly what happens. Well, how on earth would the defense attorney know that ahead of time? You know, and the clear what is clear from the transcripts is there's no effort to prepare these cases, even in the ones where they ask for an officer to arrive in court. So in one particular case, the judge says, you don't have any of your officers here. He says, the ADA says, no, I'm going to call him. The judge goes, it's noon now. You're waiting till noon to call the guy? Well, they get a hold of the officer. He says, yeah, I'll be there in 20 minutes. I mean, the guy wants to testify. It's his case. The judge says, I'm not waiting another 20 minutes. It's the middle of the day. You're just calling the guy now to get to court. So the state just rests their case, and that's it, not guilty. You know, it's really, really very bizarre behavior. And I do think you will have to have some sort of review here. I cannot see how the Supreme Court will glaze over this. The other question that's becoming front and center is, how many more times did this happen in how many sections of court? I mean, do we have any way of finding this out? Are we going to have to dig through every transcript of every not guilty case that came out of this administration? How long has this been happening? You know, were victims notified? The last transcript I saw involved domestic abuse strangulation, and the guy had also violated a protective order against the same woman shortly before this. Same thing. They call her name in the hall, no answer. They call the officer's name, no answer, not guilty. Remove his ankle monitor. You're free to go, sir. I mean, you know, it's chaos.
Laura, you may not have thought about this, but I'm just kind of curious. Is there a way to remediate this case at this point in time, or is res judicata set in and it's done?
So according to, and honestly, the sad part is because I don't know that this has ever been tested before, because we don't see this issue coming up. But technically, because in any case where no witness was sworn in, they should be able to bring those cases back, and they should be required to. They accepted those cases. They said, I think there's enough to accept this case and bring it to court. The state picked the trial date. They say what day we'll be ready to proceed to trial, except for they're not. Now they say they are, and then they present no evidence. But in cases where no witnesses were sworn in, those should be able to be salvaged. Now, the sad part is there's a few cases where they swore in one witness, knowing they would not meet their burden with that one witness, put on 5-6 sentences of testimony, introduced no exhibits, and then rested. Those, unfortunately, will be dead. A witness was sworn. Jeopardy will attach to that, and those cases will be dead. And on just a few of the transcripts I looked at, just so the public understands this, many of them were four-time felony offenders, some of them having armed robbery convictions, distribution of cocaine convictions, possession with intent to distribute cocaine convictions. One of the people who got a not guilty was rearrested for being in possession of a stolen gun while in possession of a drug just weeks after the not guilty verdict comes out. I mean, it's really shocking. And remember, we're only talking about, these are just the facts of 16. Who knows how many there are? And what have been the ramifications of that? Who knows how many of those domestic abusers went out to further perpetrate more violence against some of the females? You know, we don't even know to the extent of which this happened.
How devious are you to develop this kind of scheme, though, and to think that you get away with it? I mean,
and that's going to be, I think, what's going to require further investigation.
I mean, I'd like to find out who developed this scheme, and they need to lose their bar license. You don't wake up one morning and say, hey, I've got a solution to this problem. We could put on a fake trial, and we get to the outcome that we want of a verdict. And then we get all the pressure off of all of us that we didn't do all the work necessary, you know, and 6-2 and even over and out.
Exactly.
I mean, think about the devious mind of someone who actually went through the machinations of thinking about this. Would we want this person even in the criminal justice system today? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want him with a law license. I mean, you know, I just don't understand how they think this was going to be a good idea. I mean, it contorted and bastardized all the notions of traditional fair play and justice, on so many different fronts. Just my silly review.
Look, I completely agree with that, and I do think that a review of this will require a review of what the policy was. Did this come from a supervisor? Was this happening in other sections? Was this an agreed-upon strategy in the office? Who was aware of it? All of those things are going to have to be looked into further, and I expect that the Metropolitan Crime Commission will follow up with all of that.
No, there's probably no doubt about that for sure.
Right.
As always, right. Laura Cannizzaro-Rodrigue, thank you so much for your time, your follow-up, your backfilling on this. We really appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thank you for having me. You too.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.